False Witness by Randy Singer. This audio version is published by Oasis Audio through an agreement with Waterbrook Press. I'm Adam Werner. Prologue. The Professor. If anything happened to this kid, the professor would never forgive himself. The young man was more than just a brilliant protege. He was like a son. He reminded Professor Dagan so much of himself at that age. Too much, sometimes. Except that Chao was brash, bolder than Dagan had ever been. Chao Zhang possessed his mentor's gift for complex mathematical theories, but he had something more. At heart, Chao was a businessman, a capitalist, a risk-taker. He had grown restless as a teaching assistant at the university. Dagan could see that. Chao stayed out of respect for the professor. When Professor Dagan told his protege about the abacus algorithm, the young man's eyes burned with entrepreneurial fire. To Chao, it was more than a math formula. It became an opportunity to piece together a historic agreement that might help millions of his fellow Chinese countrymen and women. He proposed the plan with such zeal and attention to detail that the professor couldn't say no. This meeting was the culmination of Chao's plan. Dagan said a prayer, his head bowed as he sat in the driver's seat of the Ford Windstar rental van. He had a bad feeling about this meeting, something he just couldn't shake. He had insisted on elaborate security precautions to protect the algorithm.
"Be careful, my son," Dagan said.
"God be with you," Chao said.
"And with you."
The young man climbed out of the van, grabbed his briefcase, and strode confidently toward the MGM Grand. He did not look back to see the lines of worry etched into his mentor's face.
"Protect him," Dagan prayed.
He pulled away from the front of the casino, cutting off other drivers and ignoring their horns. 12 minutes later, Dagan entered his apartment, breathless from his climb up the outdoor steps. He disabled the alarm system, locked the deadbolt, and pulled the chain lock into place. Dagan had chosen this unit 20 days ago because it met all three criteria on his list: high-speed internet access, a monthly lease, and anonymity. He paid cash in advance and signed the application using a phony name. He hustled across the room, accidentally kicking one of the 24 interconnected desktop computers that littered the apartment floor. He pulled the blinds on the glass door and placed his laptop on the card table so he could hook it up to his improvised network. Each computer had been maxed out with memory upgrades, according to Chao, and then linked in such a way that the total network capacity exceeded 72 gigs of RAM. The network was protected by three separate firewalls. Dagan's screen flickered to life, and he entered his password. He connected immediately to the internet, and an instant message from Chao flashed on the screen. "Let me know when you get this." Dagan typed in his reply and simultaneously pulled up the video and audio feed from Chao's computer. When the MGM Grand conference room came into focus, with the same grainy resolution that Dagan had witnessed during the trial runs, he began to relax just a little. Chao, the more electronically savvy of the two, had wired his laptop with a hidden video camera on the back of the computer, inside a port that looked like an internet connection. He squeezed a corresponding microphone inside what appeared to be an expansion port on the side. Using a wireless card that connected Chao to the internet through cell tower technology, his computer now fed Dagan a live, blow-by-blow broadcast of the meeting. Though the resolution was not the best, Dagan could make out three business executives within range of the wide-angle lens. They sat around a large, polished wood conference table. The two men on the outside wore suits, and all three appeared younger than Dagan had anticipated. The Chinese-American man on the right looked more like a thug than a businessman. He had a low brow and thick neck, with veins bulging from a too-tight collar on his shirt. On the right side of his face, a scar started at his sideburns and ended at his jaw. His right ear was smaller than the left, as if he had lost part of it in a knife fight, and a plastic surgeon had just sewn up what was left. A tattooed co-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?